Good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, middle of the week, April the 4th, 2018. 4/4/18. 15 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And before we get to our very special guest today, one of my favorite people here in hour number one, want to let you know what's coming up the rest of the week here on the Now program. Tomorrow on the program at 12:15, we are going to be joined by Barry Farber. Barry Farber is the father of conservative talk show host. If you know Rush Limbaugh, if you know Sean Hannity, if you know Glenn Beck, it all started back in the 1950s with a man named Barry Farber, who is still working today. So we'll talk current events and all kinds of other things tomorrow, 12:15, with Barry Farber. 1:15 tomorrow is going to be a very special treat because we are going to have on Jody Serling. Jody Serling is the daughter of Rod Serling. And of Rod Serling, for all you out there, I'm sure you already know this, but was the host, writer, creator of the long-running television series The Twilight Zone. So Jody Serling will share her memories of her father, Rod Serling, tomorrow at 1:15. And for those of you who don't know, Rod Serling went to college right here in Ohio. He went to Antioch College and spent some time here in Marion, working at the radio station in the 1950s. So that's a nice tie-in. And we've got some scripts that Rod wrote in the 1950s that we'll share with Jody tomorrow, which will be a lot of fun. Now, coming up next hour today, I want to make sure we get this in. We've got two Emmy Award-winning actors, William Daniels, who you might remember best for his role as Dr. Craig on St. Elsewhere, or George Feeney, Mr. Feeney, on the TV series Boy Meets World. William Daniels will be along next hour, sharing the microphone with his wife, Bonnie Bartlett, Emmy Award-winning actress. She was also on St. Elsewhere and Boy Meets World and a whole host of other things. So that is what we've got for you coming up. Now, that leads us to this hour. Now, this hour we have one of my favorite people on. He has an open door policy when it comes to this program. And we like it that way because he is one of our greatest actors. He's one of our greatest improvisationists. He is one of our great people. We always feel better when he graces us with his presence from California on these microphones. You probably remember him best from his work on stage in Old Calcutta, or maybe from the film industry with The Jerk or Analyze This, but maybe with Maude rerunning so much, starring Bea Arthur, you know him best as her husband, co-star Walter Finley. He's still kicking, about to be 96 in a little, under a month now, over a month. Bill Macy. Bill, how you doing?
Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much. By the way, if you're going to talk to William Daniels, he's not going to applaud me the way you... He was a little feisty, and he was like... He must be like my age. What do you think?
Yeah. William Daniels, I believe, is 91 now.
Oh, 91. I guess I got him by a few years.
Oh, give us the dirt on William Daniels. He was feisty with you?
Oh, boy. You know, you couldn't take any. He would just lay you out verbally. He was, like, really fantastic in that regard. His wife, Bonnie, They used to invite me over to the house. I think they used me as a punching bag. But it's okay because, you know, that makes me feel alive when people start hitting me in all different places and so on and so forth.
Well, Bill, I just checked. William Daniels is 91.
Yeah, 91. Yeah.
91. So you had dinner with he and Bonnie.
Oh, yeah. I used to be invited over to their place, and I used to play tennis with Bill. When I first came out here, I didn't know how to play, but I was taught. I came out in California in 72 to do Maud, and I learned how to play, and then he and I would play, and he was always like cordial but feisty. You're gonna catch that you'll recognize that when you interview him and Bonnie next hour.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. You know, I think they are both interesting people. They've been married for over 60 years.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great Hollywood marriage. That doesn't normally happen.
And also, another thing that when I was listening to you make your introduction, you talked about Barry Farber. My real name is William Garber, so I rhyme with Farber. My real name was given to me as William Macy Garber, and that's not my real name. My mother wanted to call me Wolf because she wanted to carry over the person who had died in the family, and the lady next door said, you can't call an American baby Wolf. You got to call him Billy, and that's how I got my name. And then when I became an actor, did I ever tell you this story before? Is it okay to tell you?
Go ahead. I don't remember, but I'm enjoying it. Go ahead.
What happened was I became an actor in 1950, because I was born in 1922. And at the union, they said, what's your name? And I said, William Garber. That rhymed with Barry Farber. And they said, wait a minute. And they went through the files, because they didn't have computers yet. And they said, we already have a William Garber, so you have to use another name, because no two actors can have exactly the same name. So I said, what about my middle name, which is Macy? And so they said, well, use William Macy. And then 30 years later, William Macy came along, the real William Macy, who's been on Shameless for so many years. And I had the union call him, and he said, okay, I'll put an H between my two names. So he's known as William H. Macy, and I'm Bill Macy.
So he was accommodatable. He was easy to deal with.
Yes.
Now, in your long career in Hollywood, did you ever run into Rod Serling?
No.
Yep.
I wasn't driving a taxi then, so I couldn't run into him.
I love it.
I'm laughing at my own jokes.
Oh, no, it's good. I enjoyed it. Bill, I tell you, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, have you watched the new Roseanne program, which apparently 18 million people watched the thing?
Minus one. I didn't watch it.
You didn't care.
Because after I come home from playing cards all day, I have a little snack. I kiss my wife. She gives me a little pat on the head, and she puts me to bed. So really, if I'm going to watch TV, it's going to be a Dodger game because I'm from Brooklyn.
Oh. It's baseball season now.
Yeah.
So tell me,
are we permitted to use vulgarity or profanity on the radio?
Well, not we're over the air radio. Give me the first letter of the word.
Well, it's F.
F. No, we can't use that one.
I can't use that one because I don't have to use anything else after that. I can just say FA. I wanted to ask you if you knew how they taught the little kids in Brooklyn the alphabet. And you're supposed to say, how? And I would say, F and A. I got you chuckling. I hope your audience is enjoying this.
No, I enjoy it because it's unplanned. It's unscripted. But before we got on the air today, we learned that you're going to be working in the movies. The career is coming back.
Listen, not only is my career coming back, I'm coming back. You know, I'd like to sing a song for your audience, and I don't want to wait until May 18th, in which I'm 96. Let me sing that one-line song now.
Go ahead.
I'll never be 95 again. Now I'm 96. Amen. See, that was a rehearsal for when it comes to May 18th.
No, that was good. 44 days from now.
Yeah, how about that? And they're making a party for me at the Bicycle Club Casino, and they're having a chocolate cream mousse. And I'm bringing my wife. We're taking a taxi. The taxi is going to, Beverly Hills taxi is going to take us about 25 miles. It'll take us about an hour to get there on the freeway. And we're going to play some cards, and then we're going to have a party, and then we're going to come home. We're just having a fantastic time while we're functioning.
That's wonderful. Now, this birthday party coming up now, will you invite, do you have any good Hollywood friends you'll be inviting to this?
Oh, no. That, I don't pal around with those young people anymore. Basically, it's a bunch of guys, maybe a few ladies. We're all sitting around different poker games, 100, 200, 500, 1,000, whatever the games are. But for 5 minutes or so, they wheel out this cake, and a bunch of guys get behind the floor manager, whose name is Peter, and everybody sings happy birthday. And I enjoy the heck out of it. Oh, well, here's what I should tell you. This is going to... your audience, if they have an imagination, which I know they do, because we're all homo sapiens, listen to this. I go to one end of the casino, and I make believe I'm going to hit a golf ball, an imaginary golf ball. And I take a few swings. I'm doing that right now while I'm talking to you. And then I look down towards the left, which is about 30 yards, 40 yards away, and I yell, "Four!" and take a swing and walk like a young person to that spot and back, and everybody says, "Hey, that guy is 95. Look at him, will you?" And that's my entertainment.
Well, that's good, because were you ever a superstitious person? Did you have things you had to do, you know, don't walk under ladders, black cats, things like that?
I didn't understand that question.
I don't think I understood it either. I'm going to try it. I'm going to take another pass at it here. Were you ever a superstitious person? You know,
I don't think so.
No. Some actors are that, you know.
I mean, I believe in luck. Like, I found a penny the other day. It was on the street. Picked it up. I lost some money in cards, went back into my pocket, and threw the penny away.
Oh, well, see, here's...
That has to do with superstition, I guess.
I guess that... Well, see, I bring this up because I watched an interview over the weekend that was on one of these history channels of Bea Arthur, your co-star from Maude, and she's...
How could they interview her? She's dead.
Well, I think it was from the past.
I see.
Yeah, okay. It was an old interview. Bea's no longer with us, unfortunately, but... she said before she went on stage to do anything that the waste paper basket in her dressing room had to be on one side of the door, that she was a superstitious person.
Oh, I wasn't, no.
No. Did you ever notice any idiosyncrasies with Bea Arthur? Did she have any strange rituals?
Not really, but, you know, we were so... professional in our work, because, you know, you could not horse around, as we're talking about things on your radio show right now. You had to learn your lines. They were almost had to be pedantic, because you had to, whatever the writers wrote, they wanted their actual words spoken, because they thought that they knew how the show should go, and they were right.
Now, the last...
So basically, if we did any folderol that was off camera and off stage, it was not anything during the actual filming of the show.
Now, it's interesting, because we always get a lot of questions about Bea Arthur. Now, the last 5 or 6 years of her life, she toured around with this one-person show she was doing. Did you ever go see that show?
No, I never heard of it either.
You know, I got to see it on Broadway.
Really did?
Oh, yeah. Went and saw her in New York. I think it was back in 2002. And it was kind of a racy show. She was kind of a body. She told some body jokes, some body songs.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, it was called B. Arthur on Broadway.
I never heard of it, Scott.
Yeah, that's too bad. Did you stay in touch with B after the show went off?
Say that?
Did you stay in touch with B. Arthur after Maude went off the air?
No. I'm not... I'm embarrassed. But physically, I'm not embarrassed because... Pardon me. I must confess, not only to you, but you got a radio audience. I haven't, because of my personality, whatever it is, I haven't fraternized with anybody in the industry, and they haven't fraternized with me. I know a friend from 1970, his name is Leon Russom, and we were in the play called Oh Calcutta, and that ran for from 1970 to 1976. He left in maybe about a year later to do other things, and I'm friendly with him, and my wife Samantha is friendly with his wife Daphne. They pal around continually. I'm not fraternizing with people in the industry, you know, because basically I live a very simplistic life. You want me to describe what I do?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay, and that lucky old son's got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. That was a little... my brain works in strange ways. Anyway, I get up early. I get up maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that. And I go to a little coffee shop nearby, and I have what is known as a lettuce wrap, because I don't eat bread because I have celiac disease, which comes from the wheat. So it's egg salad in lettuce. And then I go to a casino. There's two or three, four here, so bicycle casino or the hustler casino, play cards for 2 or 3 hours, come home, say hello to the wife, do chores, bring in wood for the fireplace. The Dodger game is on. Oh, great. Then we set up for the Dodger game and we listen to the Dodger game with the sound off, because these guys, these announcers, they keep on talking about the things that happened in the past and so on. So I watch the game. We just love it. By 9:30, I say, honey, I think I better go to sleep. And she gives me my couple of pills, some broth, and now I woke up this morning to do your show.
Well,
that's my life.
It sounds like a good life. And Bill, with you approaching 96 years old in 44 days, I had a fact come in the other day that kind of fascinated me. Did you know that sliced bread was not invented until 1928?
What did we eat before?
You were around. You are older than sliced bread.
I was born in 22, that's right.
Yeah, so for the first 6 years of your life, there was no slicing of the bread.
Oh, listen to this. I'm going to interrupt your introduction to bread because I want to tell your audience, and you, of course, how the medium uses repetition so that we buy whatever product the industrialists want to sell. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Oh, won't you buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land? Oh, won't you try Wheaties? Jack Armstrong says they're grand. They're crispy and crunchy the whole day through. Jack Armstrong never tires of them, and neither will you. So won't you buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land? Now, you see, all of the products that are on television and radio, the advertisers know that you can't help. Oh, I have to take a shave today. Oh, let me have some Gillette. You can't help it. You have to buy the products that are made.
You do. You do. And they run those food commercials. Have you ever been hungry when they're running those food commercials?
Boy.
Oh, it's... Do you ever get a hankering? Do you like fast food, Bill?
Well, I really... Maybe I do. I don't know exactly. Give me a bit of hint.
Well, like if you are going to a, let's say, a McDonald's, what would you have to eat?
Oh, I don't go to McDonald's, but I guess I'd have a hamburger.
You'd have a hamburger. Now, do you like pizza?
No, I can't eat pizza because it's got wheat in it.
Oh, no. So you couldn't have the Wheaties either?
No.
No.
No, but I sang that song because it's like the repetition in our world, in our life. Then there's many, many intelligent executives, and they know that through repetition, without being conscious about it, the public absorbs the information, and they can't help themselves. They just walk into a place where they sell items, and their hands and minds and bodies reaches out for the product that's embedded in their brain. You can't help them. But it's okay because, you know, a couple of other things go by and we live, we just live. You know, my philosophy is really a halting because I guess I'm not as bright as I would like to be, and I sort of give myself a little break because I say I'm 95, so... What's the difference if I'm smart or not smart? Because I'll be buried momentarily. Did I ever tell you about my parents visiting me at the hospital only a few months ago?
Oh no, I didn't hear about that. Have your parents passed away?
Everybody in my family is dead. My father's dead. My mother's dead. My older brother's dead. My older sister's dead. My younger sister's dead. But I'm the only one left, and so I got pneumonia about a month ago, and they took me to Cedars Sinai Hospital, and they put me with pills and so on and so forth. And when I was growing up in Brooklyn, born in 22, it was a depression. My father had a tough time making a living. My sister actually supported the family on $12 a week, 40 hours a week. The $12 supported the family. So anyway... Everybody was under stress, yelling and screaming, laughing, whatever. And they had stress marks all over their bodies and faces. That's what I remember. But here I'm lying in bed or trying to recover from pneumonia. And one evening, early evening, the whole family appeared at the foot of my bed. And they didn't have any stress marks. They just were beautiful. I remember my father without any marks on his face. My mother was beautiful. My two sisters. My brother didn't show up, though. He was sort of maybe recalcitrant. I don't know exactly what that word means, but I use it anyway. And they said, come on, Bill. It's peaceful. Come on, we love you. Come on down. And it wasn't a vision. It was like almost like you could touch them almost, you know. And so I just carry them with me continually as I'm telling you the story. And soon, I hope, I'll join them.
Well, now, these people have been gone for many years.
Yes.
So maybe we can hold out hope here that B. Arthur could come to you now and talk about this waste paper basket. Because
you know, B. Arthur, well, she was a tough, marvelous cookie. You know, she said to me one day when we first got together, we were on an elevator in the CBS studios, and it was the slowest moving elevator in the world. And we were going from the second floor to the ground floor, and neither of us were talking to each other because we had just finished 8 hours of rehearsal. And so suddenly, she looked over at me as the elevator was descending, and she said, Bill, you're like a rock. Despite your lack of humor, you're like a rock. I just loved her for everything she did.
Well, when I met her, I think I told you last time you were on, she was the first guest on this show 16 years ago. And it's interesting because this just came to me when you said elevator. One of the stories she told me, this was her favorite story, and I don't know why she was telling me it, but God bless her, this is what I remember. She said she was during the height of Maude, when she was on television, she was doing a Tony Award show in New York with Hal Linden from Barney Miller. And she said they were going over to do the Tonys, and they had to get in an elevator. And it was just her and Hal Linden and some guy who got in there on the elevator. And he said the guy on the elevator turned to Hal Linden and just said, "Oh, I know who you are. You're Hal Linden, Barney Miller. That's my favorite show. I watch that every week. It's the best show on television. Oh, Barney Miller. I can't believe I'm meeting Hal Linden. Oh, this is wonderful." And not paying any attention to her at all. And she's on Maude at the time, and she said she was hurt that this just annoyed her that, you know, this guy was doing this. So she said she went and did the Tony Awards, and after it was over, she was leaving, and she walked up to a newspaper stand, and it was that same guy who was in the elevator running the newspaper stand. And he said the guy all of a sudden started to get excited that he was seeing her, and he was getting all hyped up, and she thought, well, it's high time you recognize who I am. And he said the guy pointed to her and said, "I remember you. You were in the elevator with Hal Linden."
Oh, that's marvelous. That's so marvelous.
And she loved it.
Hey, Scott.
It. Yes.
I have to come to Ohio someday soon because I want to see who you are and how tall you are and what you look like, how old you are. Because that's marvelous what you just did.
And that B. Arthur told me that story. And you know what I was shocked about when I met B. Arthur? She was the most kind woman. I remember we were taking a picture together, and they couldn't get, there was like five of us, and they couldn't get everybody in the shot. And she grabbed a hold of me, and she said, "Come closer." She was just, she was a nice lady.
Yes. Listen. Do you know my wife, Samantha Harper? Do you know who she is?
Yes.
Because she was in Old Calcutta with me. That's where we first met in 1970. Now, I don't know what you look like, but my wife has a computer, and I could tell you, and I'm not afraid to say it over the air, because if all people that are listening want to send to my wife's computer pictures of who the audience is, or you, her computer, I think it's Sharper. See, her name is Samantha Harper, so she called it sharper5@mac.com. That's her computer address. And I think you can send all kinds of information to that address. With the I think pictures. I think the computer even picks up pictures. Am I right or wrong?
I think they do, and I think that'll be interesting. Now, we might also, you know, there are critics out there. You never know. You never know what we'll get.
What kind of critics?
I don't know. People are funny.
Oh, people who are critical.
Oh, yeah. People are critical.
Well, I would just love to hear somebody say, "You son of a gun. How dare you say whatever you say? Because you think you're a big shot?" No, I don't think I'm a big shot. I think I'm 95, going to be 96. That's all I think.
No, and I want to get back to this. Well, maybe they don't like me. You never know. Some people are like,
well, how could they not like you?
I know. That's what I think, too. But you never know. But here,
you know, I have more fun when we speak to each other. We met maybe around 5 or 8 years ago on the radio.
Yes.
And every time I know that you want me to come on and say hello to your folks, I just love it.
Oh, well, we have a good time, and that's why you have to stick around. And
because you don't inhibit me. You know, it's amazing. Another broadcaster would say, "Hey, Bill, you cool it. You know, just be calm and let the audience understand things." But you give me permission.
Well, sure. And we don't have any script here. Now, this is very important because we're getting close to 96 here. Now, did you know that you, Bill, Hearing aids were not invented until 1923. You're older than hearing aids.
I'm older than hearing aids and older than, what was that, sliced bread?
Sliced bread. Sliced bread. And here's another one for you. This is good. Do you ever use the Scotch tape?
Continually.
Oh, well, it wasn't invented till 1930.
Wow. But am I glad they did invent it, because I don't lick envelopes. I use the Scotch tape to seal envelopes. And I have mail that people send in, fan mail and other kinds of mail, the government mail and so on. So when I put the ingredients into the envelope, I close the envelope and I use Scotch tape to seal the envelope.
Are you going?
Like, you know, there was this girl that died licking the envelopes on Seinfeld.
I remember that. And you, now, Bill, are you going to the casino today?
Of course, right after we finish our interview.
Now, here's what you need to say to somebody, to say, listen, do you know I'm older than Scotch tape?
They would look at me and say, well, what, this guy is crazy.
It's true.
That come out of left field? But I do things like that. Yeah, I'll try that today.
Well, here, I'm just going to rattle off a few things, because I think having somebody on as with it and entertaining as you, about to be 96. Now, we've got sliced bread. We've got Scotch tape. Oh, the hearing aid. You're older than the hearing aid.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. And the electric razor. The electric razor wasn't invented till 31.
Wow. And I don't use it. I just use the old-fashioned blade. And sometimes I don't see too well. And so people look at me when they see me and they say, Bill, who shaved you this morning? Because I really don't see literally and acutely small things. Even though I put my face in front of the mirror, I really don't get all of the thing done, and that's embarrassing. And I don't mind telling those stories to your audience, because I'm actually sharing the core of me while I'm even telling you this story, is saying, don't be embarrassed, Bill, just say what you want to say. And the core of me is saying to the public, I'm a person, a Homo sapiens, just like everybody else is. And like I said on the Gilbert Gottfried podcast one day, I'm just a creature, and I, through God, is using me to bless the audience, because I'm such a big mouth, you know. I'm not afraid to open my mouth. I don't worry about being smart or stupid or whatever. And so back to the vision thing, when I drive, I don't drive by seeing. I drive by memory. And I reach continual, and I stay on the right side, and I hope I don't kill anybody, of course. You know, I don't mean to be naughty in that regard. And I'm having difficulty with my vision.
Well, it took 96 years, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I want to rattle off a few more of these, just because I think it's interesting for the audience. Now,
go ahead.
Here we go. The ballpoint pen was not invented till 38. Suntan lotion. Suntan lotion was not invented till 36.
Wow.
The electric blanket was 36. And the Tupperware and the microwave oven were not invented till 46. So Bill Macy is older than all those things.
And you had people most likely investigate in some encyclopedic manner what you've just described.
Yes, and because I think it's fascinating, because I think this is a whole new career for you, and you would have the market cornered on this because of your age. You could just walk out in a show, you know, like a late night show, and say, I'm Bill Macy, and I'm older than Scotch tape. Stare at the
funny.
On.
You know what? I have a crazy imaginative idea, but I don't think anybody's going to hire me. It's at the Oscar presentation, which they have every year, they have a thing called In Memoriam, and they show pictures of the actors and people in the industry who have died that year. So my idea was to call the union, to call the Oscar people and say, let me speak to our audience on the day that I'm 100. I would like, the only provision I would like is that you have in the in memoriam my credits also, because in case I died while I was on stage there. And I would get up to say, ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure to be an actor all these years, and I have a heart attack and fall down dead. And they roll in memoriam, that I'm included in the in memoriam. I'd like to go out that way.
Well, I think that'd be, well, so you got a good 4 years left in you.
Well, I think if I keep on like this, except if somebody is going to smack me in the mouth because I talk so much.
No. I want to go back to something because I think this is fat. You said you did not fraternize with many other actors, but you fraternized with our guests next hour, William Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett.
Yeah, they were friendly. They met me. I forget exactly how we met. And I eventually started playing tennis with Bill Daniels. And then I don't know how we stopped seeing each other. I don't know exactly how it is. They most likely know better than I. They have more astute and acute memories. I wish you would ask them what the situation was.
Well, I'm going to be talking to them in like 20 minutes here. I'm going to bring this up to them.
And give them my love.
Now you said, though, I won't tell them, but you said Bill's a little crabby, huh?
Well, feisty, I will say, rather than crabby.
Feisty.
So you know, that's like, you know.
Yeah,
no, feisty, I think, is a good word. F-E-I-S-T-Y.
Is there a story in your mind where you can remember Bill Daniels being a little feisty?
No.
Well, I
wish I did. If I had the story, you know, damn well I would say it.
Oh, of course.
You know, you caught me. My only excuse is that I'm going to be 96, so therefore my memory is good for the things that I remember. But for the things that I don't remember, you know, what can I say?
Well, you know, I think Bill Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett are still out there in L.A. Maybe they want to stop by for that chocolate mousse on May 18th.
Well, okay, it's going to be at the Bicycle Casino in Bell Garden in the city of Bell Garden, and it's a marvelous casino, you know. And I don't play a very expensive game, play a dollar game, just to keep myself active or something. And it takes me an hour and a half to get there, because I don't take the freeway, and an hour and a half to get back, so that's 3 hours right there, and 2 hours at the casino is fine. So that, here's my wife. Come on and say hello to Scott. You want to say hello to Samantha, Scott?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Samantha. How are you doing?
You guys are so great. I love listening to Bill talk to you and laugh and have a great time, and it's a pleasure.
Well, I thank you for always setting it up, because Bill is always welcome here. We always have a great time.
Oh, yeah. You're both fabulous.
Well, thank you so much, Samantha. I appreciate that. Now, are you ready for this big Bicycle Casino birthday chocolate mousse?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, we're going to take a minivan out there and party.
Oh, it's going to be at 96. What an interesting thing.
96. I'll give you back, Bill.
Thank you.
Listen to what I told Samantha, I think even last night, what my plan is, because, you know, I don't act necessarily on stage or film, but I do act in life. So there's a part of the casino that has like a place where you can actually walk 30 yards, where the tables are a little away from the wall. And I want to still let people in the world, in the casino world, know that I'm existing there. I think I told you this earlier, and I walk to one end of it, stretch a little bit there, and yell four, I mean really yell, and everybody stops, look, and they say, oh, that's Bill again, you know. Walk 30 steps that way, 30 steps that way, 30 steps that way. And so I do that two or three times a day, it keeps the blood going through my veins and arteries. So I'm being selfish about that, being so silly.
Well, you got to get around, and I think that's a good thing that you do. Because you know,
I'm going to be 100. I don't want to be 100 in a wheelchair.
No, you got to keep that body moving.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So when you drive to the, it takes you an hour and a half to get to the casino.
Listen, I live in Beverly Hills Post Office. That's the name of the section. I make a right turn on Benedict Canyon. I proceed to straightforward. I proceed to Pico Boulevard. Make a left on Pico, and the Pico takes me to Normandy. Normandy, make a right turn, and there's another 10, 12 miles to Gardena. And I pull in, park the car, give it to the valet, but I stop at all the lights. I'm not trying to pass anybody. And so it's 22 and a half miles, so it takes an hour and a half.
Well, that's good. I've always heard that the L.A. traffic can be a little difficult.
It really is. It's bumper to bumper. They pass me going 50, 60 miles an hour. They're crazy. I'm going the normal speed, 35, 40, which is just a normal amount of, but, you know, they look at me. They don't have time to even look. They just go, vroom, 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 vroom. You know, they're crazy. They have to get to where they're going quicker. It's ridiculous, but anyway, I have no comment about it.
No, it was good. I enjoyed that. Now, I wanted to tell you, earlier on this week, we had on Shecky Green. Now, do you remember the comedian Shecky Green?
Oh, he's marvelous.
Yeah,
old is he?
We had him on because his birthday is Sunday. He'll be 92.
Wow. And boy, was he funny when he was working.
Oh, he's
still working?
Oh, he comes on. He's still funny with me.
Well, of course.
He tells this story. I call it a great story. He was guest starring on Fantasy Island. Remember Fantasy Island with Ricardo Montalban?
Yeah.
And he said he got there late, and he saw this woman who was a nice-looking woman, and he just was talking to her about whatever she was doing. And he said that Hervé Villachez, that guy, that, you know, four-foot guy on Fantasy Island.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, came over to him and said, get away from my, that's my wife. And he pulled out a gun on him.
Oh, my gosh.
And Shecky said he got away. He said that was his wife, so he walked away from Hervé. And he said he went over to Ricardo, and Ricardo said, Shecky, don't worry about it. That little guy's loco. He's that way all the time. Now, I thought that's interesting.
Wow.
Did you ever do Fantasy Island?
You know, the people are people, and that was like one of those people.
Well, he shouldn't have been pulling a gun on people, though. Whoa.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't think Hervé's any longer with us.
You know, philosophically, Scott, I'd like to say some thoughts that, because I know that you have a great audience, and I love the idea that they're on listening to the radio, wherever they may be, and I'd like to share some thoughts that I have to do with our being on this planet, the planet that is so disruptive and calm and violent and peaceful. It's a little bit of everything. It was created by God, and everybody knows that, even though they may give you an intellectual disagreement. And we're all vessels of God. And so we shouldn't take everything so personally. Even though I'm talking to you and I'm using my voice and my body and using the electronic system, and it's a pleasure to speak to you, another Homo sapien. It's like if we just relax a little bit and enjoy all other people and love them, then on our way to the cemetery or to the glass jar, because my wife was going to put me in ashes next to her brother. You know, it's all about love. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Well, I have two things. One will be interesting, and the other is a question since you brought up cremation. Here's what I just did while you were doing I was listening, but I think we might be in the Guinness Book of World Records on this show this week. Because I just added Shecky Green, William Daniels, yourself, and Bonnie Bartlett. I think between four guests, I've had about 400 years of life on this show in the last few days. So that's number one.
Marvelous.
That's
yeah.
number one. Now, here is a question. Maybe you can answer this, Bill. We got this question the other day, and it was about a lady. She's still living, and she lives in Ohio, but her family is buried in Florida, and her daughter, her only child, lives in Maine. Now, she was going to be buried in Florida when she dies, and the daughter came to her and said, Mom, I would like you to be buried in Maine so I can come and visit you. But she doesn't want to be cremated, so she doesn't know, should she go to Florida with her family, where she knows people, she'll be buried next to them, or should she go to Maine and be buried?
Maine. So I vote for Maine.
Now, why do you vote for Maine?
Because the daughter wants to visit her.
But what if the daughter moves to Michigan? Because you can't move, you know, I don't know what you do.
Wow.
Isn't that a complex question? I didn't know what to tell the woman.
It is. But I would, if I were going to die, I would like to honor the request of the living. And so my wife, I don't know if she's telling the truth or not, but her brother died about a year ago, and they cremated him and sent this jar of ashes, and she keeps this jar of ashes in her study. And I have no idea if she's going to bury me, because she's only 74. And I don't know if she's going to have me buried or she's going to have me cremated. I don't even consider it, but I would just let her do whatever she wants to do, you know.
Well, Bill, you know, we're 44 days out from your birthday here. We've got about a minute left here, and I we're going to have you back before the birthday because we want to talk about that. And as always, I'm in your debt for coming on as you do and make us laugh and think and have fun and just have a normal conversation. And I know you have a cold, so I want you to get that checked out. If you know it gets any worse, don't go see your family just yet.
That's right.
Bill Macy, gonna be back in a movie coming up later this year. You got to go film that movie, Bill. It's always a pleasure, and I will talk to you before the big 9-6.
Scott, I want to say not only thank you, but I love you, but I want you to send a picture of you and others to my wife's computer, just like I told you about it before, so I can visually see who I'm talking to. Because right now it's just your voice, right?
Yes, yes. I'll send a picture.
All right, I love you.
I love you. And I'm going to send a picture to Bill Daniels, too. Bill Macy, one of my all-time... Bill, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. William Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett, Husband and Wife Act, coming up in about 10 minutes.
This is Mary Ellen Withrow, and you can catch Marianne Michaels, Scott Spears, and Charlie Evers every Friday, 12:10 until 1 p.m., Change Club, supported by Kroger.